So here we are, December 31st, New Year's Eve, getting ready to go into New Year's. And I'm just curious what that means for you. As you come to this holiday, you know, we celebrate Christmas and we have all the different things that go along with it. And then we have kind of that little bit of lull, and now here we are at New Year's and its celebration. And as you think about that, as you find yourself on the cusp of a new year, what is that meaning to you? How are you incorporating that? How are you thinking about that, framing it for your life? My grandfather, when I remember one year, he was from Scotland, and I remember spending a New Year's Eve with him, and I asked him, what are you going to do, Grandpa? What's the plan? Are you excited about tonight? And he just said in the Scottish brook, it's just another day. Like, aw, where's the fun in that? Because he was going to go to bed like at 10 o'clock. And I was like, come on, we got a party. I'm 12, you know? And technically, it is just another day. The calendar turns over one more time. But it's also more than that to us in many respects. It represents this idea of an opportunity for new things, to take a new approach, to try some new things, to do some things maybe we've been meaning to do. And this is going to be the year that we're going to do it. For us, this morning, December 31st stands at sort of a crossroads. It's the last day of the old year upon which we can kind of stand and look in to this new year. So I think it's fitting that we look at a passage that we consider today because it has that idea in it of someone who has lived a long life and is at that moment, that cusp of seeing something new that is happening. Now, I know that recently I began just putting in the verse rather than the entire passage, but just the scripture reference there for you in your outline. I thought, well, this is a bad morning to do that. So you'll have to do something that the ancients used to do, and that is pull out your Bible and or your phone and pull it up to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to begin in verse 22. And we read this, when the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now, this is a good reminder that Joseph was somebody who was seeking to be obedient to the law. And that informed a lot of the things that we read about when he heard about Mary's pregnancy and he was curious or not sure what to do, if he should just divorce her, marry her, and what he decided to do because he wanted to be obedient to the law but yet wanted to be gracious. So they took him to Jerusalem. And in verse 23, it says, as is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now, those birds are actually a concession. If you did not have money, if you were counted among the poor, that was the offering that you could make. And this reminds us that while not destitute, Joseph and Mary were people of very humble means. So what we see here is Jesus on his very first temple or visit to the temple as an infant. And he's probably about 6 weeks old at this point. Two things happened that when he was 8 days old, he was probably circumcised. And then after Mary went through her purification time, which lasted another month after the circumcision, there was a time where she had to wait, and then they would go and they would offer these sacrifices. So what do we begin to see here? And what do we need to take hold of? And this is one of the things that I really want us to capture this morning, is that Jesus is the one who makes all things new. Let's go back into the Old Testament, and we read in Isaiah 43, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And this is talking about the Messiah, that is Jesus, who was to come. And if we go then all the way to the end of the Bible, into Revelation chapter 21, we have Jesus saying, Behold, I am making all things new. And he also said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So Jesus is the one who makes things new. He is taking the old covenant and he is going to make a new covenant. He is the one who makes us new creatures, new creations in Christ. He's the one who gives us new clothing to put on that Matt referred to. And that is to put on Christ. And so as you look into your new year, as you look ahead and think about what are some new things I want to do, what are some different things I want to happen, keep in mind that you'll need and want Jesus to be at the center of any new thing you're going to do. And let me encourage you to make this a year that you pursue Jesus in a new way. That you take some time that maybe you haven't been taking to read about Jesus, to talk to Jesus through prayer, to share Jesus with a friend. If this is to be truly a new year, you're going to want Jesus to make it a new year for you. Now we go on here a little bit more. And we go back to our text in Luke 2. It says, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now this whole scene here that we're going to look at is taking place between the time of Jesus' birth and the time when the Magi show up. So we've kind of gone back in time for what we were looking at in the last couple of weeks. So what do we see here? We see Simeon was watching for a new day ahead. He was a righteous man, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit, notice that word, on him. That's a phrase that is used to indicate that God comes on somebody through the Holy Spirit and they're able to do miraculous things. Sometimes it's prophesy, sometimes it's more than that, that they're able to do, like Samson, who could do great feats of strength. Different things happen. It was kind of a temporary thing that would happen in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit would come on somebody and then they might leave. So here's Simeon seeking the Lord through his life. The Lord gives him this blessing of the Holy Spirit on him. And through the Holy Spirit, he learns, you're going to see something not everybody's going to get to see. You're going to see what you've been waiting for, the Messiah, with your own eyes. I remember when I was at a YMCA camp, about 12 years old, and really first heard the gospel and people talking about Jesus coming back, and I was just captured by that. It was the first time I really kind of began to lend my heart over to the Lord and to give it over to him. And I remember they were talking about Jesus coming in the clouds, and I remember that next day just looking up and saying to people, oh, those clouds look different. You think Jesus is coming back today? And of course, there, you know, people who were Christians for a while just, no, be quiet, settle down. You know, but it was so new and vibrant to me, this idea that he was coming back. And then through my life, I wonder, am I going to get to see him? Am I going to see him return? And when you're younger, you begin to say, you know, it's a great possibility. The older you get, you begin to wonder, I'm not so sure that's going to happen. I know I'm going to see him, but I don't know if it's going to be in this lifetime. But Simeon is excited to see the Messiah. And I have to ask myself, do I still have that same excitement? How about you? Do you? Has this kind of become old hat? Have you kind of got the routine down so that you can come into church, sit down, sing some songs, take communion, listen to the message, put some money in an offering plate? Do something, you go through it all, and you don't have to engage your mind at all. You know what to do. Or do you still have that excitement, that anticipation that Jesus might show up in a new and powerful way, even this morning, that through his word he might speak to you something you need to hear? Are you looking forward to seeing him face to face? Does that still capture your imagination? Or have you just kind of fallen into that lull? Let me encourage you to ask the Lord to move you out of that if that's where you've landed. So here's Simeon now, and he's watching. He's watching for this new day ahead. And it says, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying. Now let's stop there just for a moment and think. I wonder what that looked like in that moment. Simeon's there. He's been moved by Spirit. He knows he should go. This is the time to go. And he sees that child. Now, I wonder, is Jesus the only one? Are there others? But somehow he knows there's something about this child. Maybe it's just a whisper of the Spirit to him. There he is. Right there. See that couple over there? The one with the doves? That's him. I wonder if as he went in there, he first looked around for important families, wealthy families. And maybe he just kind of overlooked them until the Spirit said, no, let's come back over here. Kind of like Samuel was looking at all of David's brothers and he kept thinking, this is it, this has got to be it. And going down the line until they finally realized that the one who was supposed to be anointed wasn't even invited to the party. But whatever it was, he realized there's the Messiah. And then he says this in a prayer. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles, and a glory for your people Israel. So when he sees this baby, Simeon sees something very unique here. He sees the greatness of Jesus. There's three things that he talks about here. He was a light for the Gentiles. That's us. And Gentile is basically any non-Jewish person. That's us in this room. A light for us. A light for us to see the way to God. A light for understanding of how this world works and how we can live in it in a way that brings us joy and peace. And then he's also a glory for Israel. Jesus was the sole purpose of Israel's existence. Israel existed in order to bring forth the Messiah. And now here he was. And then he's also salvation for all. Jesus is going to bring an open invitation for all people to come back to God. And we read in verse 33, the child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Well, that's something for a new mom to hear, isn't it? You know, normally you're used to kind of, oh, what a pretty baby. You know, somebody say, oh, this is going to be great. You know what? When this kid grows up, he's going to break your heart. But there's more happening here that we need to understand and we need to see. So Simeon saw more than just the good stuff ahead. Simeon saw the great pain that also lie ahead. Let's look at that real quick. First off, he saw this. Jesus would change the order of the world. He would turn the world upside down. The first will become last. The last will move to the front of the line. The servants will be called great and not the kings. I heard recently an interview concerning the Saudi prince, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. And he's, if you've been paying attention to the news, he's reportedly been working to purge corruption from the Saudi government and from Saudi society. And in a recent report, someone asked about the prince's own immense wealth. You know, how can he be cracking down on all this corruption when he's one of the wealthiest people in the world and he spends money like crazy, like he bought this $300 million chateau in France? And the response was, that's not corruption. That's just his right as the Saudi prince. They give him money and he gets to spend it. That's not how things work in the kingdom of heaven. That's not what the kings do there. That's not what the great people there do within God's kingdom. They don't take for themselves, they give of themselves. And they serve. And that service is what makes people great. So Jesus is going to change the order of the world, but also Jesus would be rejected. He would be rejected by his own people. Those that he came to, the Bible says, knew him not. And Jesus' own death would break Mary's heart. This is what lay ahead for them. As they're looking at this, you know, young parents, you're looking ahead, all this excitement, what is this child going to grow up to be? What are they going to accomplish? What are they going to do? They know what's coming. Rejection. Broken hearts. But we know about the resurrection. And so we know that there's hope in all of this. But let me ask you this. As you think about this, what are you looking for in this coming year? As you think about what's on the horizon for you, every year holds the possibility of both joy and pain. It's out there. With wisdom, we can avoid some problems of our own making, which is always a good thing. But there are also plenty of problems that can come our way that we have no control over. Illnesses, accidents, business decisions that get made about the companies we work for. We have no control over, and suddenly we find ourselves dealing with new realities. Doctors' reports that tell us something we don't want to hear for ourselves or for a family member. It's all out there as a possibility for us. So the choice for us, we can either bury our head and say, well, I don't want the new year to come, stop the clocks at 11:59 tonight. Or we can know that as we move forward into this new year, we have Jesus with us. We have the King of Kings, the Prince of Peace. So the question for us is, whatever comes this year, will you look for Jesus in it? Will you be like Simeon, keeping your eyes open, listening for the Spirit to speak to you and point out Jesus moments to you in this coming year? Moments when you'll have to choose whether you'll serve yourself or serve someone else. Whether you'll push yourself at the front of the line or whether you'll allow yourself to walk to the back. Whether you'll seek your own greatness or to lift up somebody else. What will you choose in this coming year? How will you choose to bring Jesus to the center of your life? Will you let him be your shepherd and guide you to the green pastures and the still waters? Will you let him be your redeemer? If you're someone who's just considering Jesus now, you haven't made a decision, let me just encourage you as you go into this new year to pursue the questions that you have. Let it lead you to a decision point. Look for him. Make a decision. Is he the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, or not? Is he the Son of God or not? And can you surrender your very life to him? And in all of this, will you allow God to do a new work in your life this year? Now, let me encourage you to think about some things. Try some new things. Push back against fear. When someone says, hey, you want to do this? And you go, no, I don't want to do that. That scares me. Go to the fear. You say, well, that's out of my comfort zone. Then get out of your comfort zone. Put yourself in new places for new opportunities. Because it's in those places, in those times, that we find things happening to us and for us and through us, in us, that we begin to see and understand God's work in a new light. But it can be and feel risky to do that. But that's what a new year does. It gives us an opportunity to do more than say, I'm going to go to the gym more often, or I'm going to lose some weight this year, I'm going to do a few things like that. Why not put yourself in some new opportunities? If we're talking about doing something here at church, try it out. Ladies, try the Real Women. Guys, try the Next Guy Stuff thing. Try it out. Go to the lock-in tonight. Who knows what will happen? But try. Step out. Make some new habits. If you haven't been reading the Word, get into the Word this year. And don't say, you know what, that's a great idea, but I'm going to read the Bible through the year, or the entire Bible in a year. You won't get past Leviticus, I promise you. You'll hit it and you'll stop. You know, just get a little bit at a time. Make some space. Grab some time. Say, you know what, when I'm having my morning coffee or tea or whatever it is you have, you know, go ahead and say, I'm just going to read a few verses here. I'm going to look at my, if I'm on Facebook, I'm going to look at the people who are on my list. You know, they're the right that you can message and just say, I'm going to pray for those people right now. Just occupy some of that new space and do some new things. We find that when it comes to change, it takes usually about 30 days of doing something over and over again. So rather than try to, you know, say, I'm going to change my entire life, what is something you could begin to do for the next 30 days? And you know you can do it. Try it out. Try things, events, relationships. Try a new restaurant. Just do some new things and see what happens. But while you're doing it, be like Simeon. And keep your eyes open to what God may be doing around you. Say, Lord, what do you want me to see in this moment? If you're sitting in a coffee shop, who do you want me to see here today? Can you look at your waitress or your waiter instead of determining and judging, you know, how well they're doing? Can you pray for them? Can you begin thinking, wonder what they need in their life right now? And just ask a blessing on them. See them in a new perspective. I'm not talking about standing up and saying, you know, like they do the big birthday announcements. You know, can we get everybody around here and let's pray over? Just say a prayer for them. Be kind to them. Find yourself looking for opportunities to be kind and gentle and respectful to the people around you. Less judgmental. Look for ways to be generous to others. To push yourself. But go and occupy some new space. But it won't happen if we sit still in our chairs, our couches, our sofas, and just say, well, I'm going to wait here for God to move me. Start moving and let God steer you to where you need to go. Now, you may experience some things, go, well, I'm going to do what you said, and I'm going to go to the restaurant, I'm going to pray for my waitress, and I'll see God pour out a blessing. It might not happen. But keep doing it again. And do it again. And keep putting yourself in that situation. I wonder how many times Simeon showed up at the temple wondering, is today the day? Is today the day? Before that day finally showed up. Just risk and try and do something new this year. Open yourself up to what God might do in you and through you for the world around you. Instead of focusing, God, what are you going to bless me with? Ask yourself this. God, how can I bless someone else today? Just start there. That turns everything upside down. How can I be an encouragement, a light, a help, a hope to someone else? Rather than saying, make it about me, Lord, help me make it about someone else. And do something new. Take Jesus with you into this new year. Let him shepherd you. Let him redeem your time. Let him use you in a way you haven't before. Doesn't matter whether you're young or not so young, you can still be used by God for some simple but powerful life change this coming year. Let's be like Simeon and open to seeing Jesus show up in our lives. We're going to sing a song here that says this. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, humbly you came to the earth, you created all, for love's sake became poor. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. And that's what this, I just encourage you, this New Year's Eve as you go into a new year, make that your prayer that you're here to worship, to bow down, to give yourself over to our God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and a chance just to be reminded what makes Christmas great. Again, that we see Jesus and Jesus at work, and Jesus is going to accomplish some powerful things. We know he's coming back for us, Father. We keep our eyes open, but we also know that until he does, you have a work for us to do. And that work for us is to love this world, to be salt and light, to bring truth and grace with us wherever we go. So help us to commit ourselves to that this morning. And Father, for some who are here with us, that they've not made that decision yet, but maybe today is the day they want to do it. They want to begin this new year as a follower of Jesus. They want to be baptized into the waters, immersed there, and raised to new life. Lord, whatever it is that's stirring around in our hearts right now, speak to us. Speak to us, Father. Move us forward into this new year. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.